We do want to introduce our keynote speaker. He's a Texas A&M associate professor, Jeffrey Booth. He's with us today. Jeffrey joined A&M as the Youngblood Endowed Professor of Land Development in September 2009, having previously held the position of Senior Fellow Sustainable Development at the global environmental consulting firm ERM. He's had senior positions in the Brisbane, Australia City Council, Tobishima Corporation of Japan, founded and ran his own town planning company, Planning Australia, and he made his way to the States when he was recruited in 1999 to the Urban Land Institute in Washington, D.C. Jeffrey has many accolades, including the Reagan Interdisciplinary Medal in 2015 and 2016, as well as the Outstanding Teacher Award in 2016. So it's pretty safe to say he knows what he's talking about when he gets here and chat with you today. So without further ado, Professor Jeffrey Booth to the stage, if you want to take it away.
Okay, before I get started, I've got to confess that when Ron rang me and we had a discussion, he said, mate, you know, no one's going to understand a word that you've got to say. And I said to Ron, well, Ron, I've got a deeper southern accent than you have. A couple of things I want to say just before I launch into the address today is... I've had a chance to meet your board members. I've sat with them, I've broken bread and had lunch with them. And the thing that strikes me about College Station is when we came down from Washington, D.C. in 2009, my fellow academic said to me, when will you be going back to Australia? And within about 6 months, I had a pretty clear response to them, and that was, they will be taking us out of College Station in a pine box. And the reason for that is very simple, that the majority of people that I come across in College Station are very genuine people. Now, you saw Amanda give a very heartfelt address here, a couple of comments previously. This sort of genuineness you do not find in Washington, D.C. And so when I came to College Station, it was like a breath of fresh air. The other thing I'll say is I had a chance to meet Amanda earlier, and Amanda has one really mean Australian accent. So if you want to be like me, acquire an Australian accent. It's a bit like dog dirt. Once you stand in it, you never get rid of it. But there's the story. Now let's move on to what I'm here to talk to you about today. Keep Brazos beautiful. Now the work that you do is extremely important. Now I'm going to start with a little quiz because that's what academics do. And I'm going to ask you, which one of these do you prefer? So those that prefer the Birkenstocks on the right, put up your hand. Those that prefer the stilettos on the left, put up your hand. Yeah, I don't think people are being terribly honest here, right? But the reason in showing you this is not some sexist Australian male. It's basically saying to you that there are things in life, like appearance, that are important. There are things in life, like comfort, that are important. And the things that you do here, the next slide, please. The things that you do here in the Brazos, Keep Brazos Beautiful organisation is very important in terms of appearance and in terms of comfort. And these two things are very important when it comes to real estate value. Now, the next slide. I was going to show you this. If we go to the next slide, please. I was going to show this little movie. It's a bit long, and we're running a little bit over time, so I'm going to get rid of this. But the running joke with this movie is that in that photograph there, one of those two things is our dean. So you can work out which one is the dean of the College of Architecture. So the next slide. This is what I want to talk to you about today. There is a causal, not a casual relationship between the quality of placemaking and enduring real estate value. So if we go to the next slide, the thing that I'm going to talk to you about is how the quality of place creates enduring real estate value. So the things that you do to make Brazos Valley beautiful, you may think does not have a major impact on real estate value. Let me tell you, as someone who's built their career and is now a professor in the field, that it is a very important piece. And by the time I finish this address, I think you'll understand this as well. Now, one of the quotes, if we go to the next slide, We shape our environment, and then that environment shapes us. This is really the theme of what I want to talk to you about today. We shape our environment, and then that environment shapes us. Now, I want you to think about that as I go through and explain some of the elements of what constitutes value and how we assess it. So if we go to the next slide, to achieve the enduring value of real estate assets requires two things. One is the creation of the right place, and the second thing is creating it at the right time. So here's an example of place in the next slide. Most of you will know this. Many of you have probably been down to San Antonio and spent time there. This is a place that we all know. This is a place that many of us will value, right? This is a place that we will reward with repeat visitation. But here's the rub. If you go to the next slide, you'll see that all place is real estate. It doesn't matter where you are, what you are doing, you are living in place 24/7 of your life. From the moment of birth to the moment of death, your whole life is lived in place. Now, some of that place has enduring value. So if we go to the next slide, and some of the other elements do not have enduring value. So the key to creating enduring real estate value is to identify what the need is, what is your target demographic, and then producing a real estate asset that is well aligned with that need. And if you do that well, what you do is create patterns of repeat visitation. You create patterns of actual ownership, and you create patterns of notional ownership. So there's places in which you live your life that you don't actually own, in that you've got title to it, but you certainly feel a sense of ownership and protection towards it. And the sort of conviction that you present here in Keeping Brazos Beautiful is all about protecting and enhancing those places. Now, if we go back to the theory of real estate and we look at the next slide, you'll see that there's five essential things, and unfortunately you have to go duk, 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 duk. Yeah, that's a technical term. You'll see that there's five things that we do to create real estate value. The first one is the most critical. That's called conceptualization. And what you have to do there is identify a real need. Not an imagined need, but a real need. And then you have to come up with a development concept that has a laser alignment to that need. If you get that alignment right, and if I can use an example, quintessential Texan example, if you go to the range and you've managed to store up a stock of ammunition, you don't want to shoot it off into the stratosphere. You want to make every one of those bullets count. So similarly in real estate development, we don't have a surplus of assets or resources. We actually want to get that alignment right. Now, if you don't get that alignment right, you create what we call in the industry a pig, right? And it will smell like a pig, it'll behave like a pig, it'll oink like a pig for the term of its natural life, and it doesn't matter how much financial lipstick you put on that pig, it's a pig, right? And you're stuck with it. And even if you slaughter it, you still don't get your money back on it. So if we go down the list there, once you get that development concept right, then you have to produce a design. You actually have to document the development. And then the third element, delivery, you have to finance it. You have to find the parties that will build it. So you actually create the asset. Once you've done that, you've got a standing asset. Then you have to activate it. You have to get the funds flowing in it to get the return from it. And then finally, because real estate is not passive, you have to actually manage it. Now the next slide, which you can't read, which is what professors do to torture their students, shows you this five-stage process. And if you step back and think about it, this is what we do in everything in our life. Success in life comes from proper conceptualization, proper design, proper delivery, proper activation, and proper management. Now, the way we teach this, if we go to the next slide, is we use a book. When I came here, I wanted a book that was written by an Aggie. And this chap, Professor Dennis Yerke, he was the class of 74. He wrote this book. I used to work for the Urban Land Institute in Washington, D.C. They published this book, and we make this the textbook that I teach my students. And what the textbook explains when you get into it is that there are four elements to value. We think of real estate in terms of financial value, but it also has other elements to it. One, it has a social, cultural value. So these places that we frequent have a value that relates to the socialisation, to the creation of place that we identify with. It has an economic component to it in terms of rents and taxable revenues, as the judge will tell you. And it has an environmental value, which is the area which you are well versed in. But the area we don't tend to think about is the sensory value. Now, the sensory value is one which I'm going to concentrate a little bit on shortly. But let me just run through the elements that form part of the social cultural return. So these are some of the things that we look at in terms of all real estate assets to work out what is their social cultural return. If we move on to the economic return, you'll see we look at taxable value, tourism revenues, taxable revenues, occupancy rates, functionality. If we move on then to environmental return, you can see some of the elements that actually improve the performance of the asset, but also protect the planet and make it greener and more attractive. Now, the piece I want to focus on is this last piece, sensory return. This is the thing that we don't think about, but which we are all very skilled in. So if we think about how we actually experience place, we think about how we're experiencing this place here now, we do it in terms of appearance, in terms of sight, we do it in terms of sound, we do it in terms of aroma or smell, we do it in terms of touch, and we do it in terms of taste. Now, by and large, most of us, unless some of our senses are impoverished in one area or other, have a full set of antenna and skills to actually sense and experience place. So if we go to the proposition in the next slide where I said we shape our environment and then our environment shapes us, is this true or is this not? So if we move on to the next slide again, we're going to test this proposition. So if we go to the first photograph, that's what my bedroom used to look like when I was 17 years old, right? Now that I've become a grandfather, this is what my bedroom looks like. Well, my wife makes our bedroom look like this. It's not actually our bedroom. Our bedroom's got a television in it so that we can watch Shell Weekly on the news. But you can see here that living in the room on the right is going to create a different environment and a different experience to what living in the room on the left. If we go to individual properties, we'll show you two houses here. That's the first one and the second one. You can see that the experience of living in those houses, roughly the same size, different terms of maintenance, different terms of beautification, would make a huge difference in terms of the life that we lead. Now, we were talking earlier, Amanda says that she travels frequently, hasn't been to Australia yet, but obviously is working on it with that accent. If we go to the next slide, if I was to take you to London and you had the choice between going to this bridge or the bridge on the right, chances are that you're going to go to the bridge on the right. No one probably even knows what the bridge on the left is. That's actually London Bridge. And then when we actually take it to the next level up, this is metropolitan regions and towns, this is a photograph of a Paralopolis, which is an informal settlement in Sao Paulo in Brazil. As the Vice President of Global Development, I travelled around the world, and this was one of the places that I went with. And, of course, any of you that have seen Crocodile Dundee, you know that Mick, when he's in New York, he says you call that a knife when he gets attacked. I made the mistake of actually wandering into this thing, and then I was told that I was basically taking my life into my own hands. But we can see that different appearances and different beautifications create different levels of comfort and different levels of attraction. So, if we move to the facts of life, and there's four of them, basically. We eat, we sleep, we breathe, and we assess place. So, without even thinking about it, I could ask you, do you like this place? Do you like this place here? And you will have one of three responses. You either will like it, you will either dislike it or you just don't care, right? Everybody has that response. Now, you may have some gradations in that. And then if I was to pick someone in the audience and I'd say, well, how did you come to that conclusion? You'd say to me, I love the natural light that is streaming into this room, right? I love the quality of the speaker. I know you were really telling fibs then. You know, I love the colour of the carpet. I really enjoyed, you'd be telling the truth if you said you enjoyed the table arrangements that are with you. You could give me anecdotal responses. Now, when I'd say to you, how do you know that? 98% of you have got an answer already formed in your mind. And if I asked you what the answer, what your answer was, you would not be honest with me. Now, I've done this with my students. And the basic response 98% of the time is, I don't know, I just know. And it's the right answer. The reason that you know is that from birth to death, you have been assessing place. And you carry around in the back of your head incredible amounts of tacit knowledge about place. And you use that tacit knowledge to compare different places that you're in. Now, the skill of a real estate developer is to take that tacit knowledge and bring it forward as explicit knowledge to satisfy a need. Now, what you do in your organisation, the good work that you do, is that you actually create places that are memorable, places that are favourable, places that actually inflate not just the value of the place that you're creating, but the place surrounding you. It enriches the environmental value of the place, the social cultural value of the place, the economic value of the place, and most importantly, the sensory value of the place. So what I'd say to you is, if we go to the next slide, this was actually in a coffee shop in Glasgow when I was there addressing a conference, Let Every Sense Be Seduced Every Time. And what you actually do through the various programs that you do is actually enhance the enduring value of real estate here in the Brazos Valley. So if we go to the next slide, this is the dictionary definition, the textbook definition. Whether you like it or not, or whether you even appreciate it or whether you don't, the work that you do across the spectrum of your programs actually enhances the enduring value of real estate and makes Bryan College Station and Brazos Valley special, and that's the reason I will be taken out of here in a pine box. If we go to the next slide, making our world a better place starts with protecting and enhancing where we live. And yes, that's us there on the North American continent in the Brazos Valley. So let me just close with this. This is your awards banquet, your awards luncheon, and I'm standing in the way of giving these awards to people that have made a tremendous contribution. You also engage in beautification, you engage in litter control, you engage in recycling, and you engage in education. To me, that's a pretty well-rounded program that you run. I see the results of at least one of your pieces of handiwork, which you can see in this photograph here, as I drive up to Texas A&M every day. It used to be a pretty motley sort of corner. Now it's very beautiful, and when I get stuck in traffic, it gives me something beautiful to look at and to remind me how you keep Brazos Valley beautiful. Thank you very much.